West Denver. The voice of the people. News Talk 710. Arm yourself for office conversation in the afternoon with Peter Boyles in the morning on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. It's a Friday morning, the 18th morning of June 2021. I'm Peter Boyles. This is Radio Free Denver, good old 710 KNUS. That sounds pretty good right now. Cooler and storms, maybe 88 for a high. That's a big drop. Saturday's storms likely in 85. Father's Day, some maybe storms in 83. Back to work Monday, 78, so we're breaking off. This is always once a year we do this show. It was on June the 18th in 1984 that the perhaps once and future king, talk show host Alan Berg, was gunned down in his driveway in Adams Street, and it all begins again. For all these many years, Lee Larson, who was our boss at the time, would join us. He can't this year. And it's because he is the man, but he's with his grandkids in Disneyland. But he always made that statement that there's talk radio is divided before Alan Berg and after Alan Berg. And I've put some more corollaries to that. It's before and after Alan, and then before and after Rush Limbaugh, and now before and after Donald Trump. So we have quite a lineup of people. But as always, on Fridays now, it's a tradition to have Father Andre Mahana with us, who does his Sunday show, 6 a.m. here on 710 KNUS. Hey, Father, good morning, man. Thanks for one more time. Welcome back.
Peter, good morning.
Yeah. We always get to talk politics and get to talk the Middle East, but the Israeli Defense Force chief, and they're back airstriking now. They're new fighting against Hamas, and the tensions have risen again, and the IDF, which is the Israeli military, a second night of airstrikes, and because they're firing these, they're called, I think they call them arson balloons, and they launch them from Gaza. The Japanese tried this in the Second World War, by the way, and they launch these balloons that they hope will start fires. This will never go away, Father, will it?
No, you know, this is not the first time they launched these balloons, right? And they're causing really major fires inside of Israel. This they have been doing for years now, as a matter of fact. I think the dilemma here will be, you're right, is this a new round? Or this is to and somehow not allow the peace process to go forward?
Yes.
And the election in the Palestinian side, I wonder what happened in the election on the Palestinian side. Did Hamas get into the system, or they're still and somehow non-conventionally a power that is coexisting with the power in Ramallah, which is the central Palestinian power, basically?
The new prime minister in Israel is a U.S. guy born here. And so he's 3 days or 4 days into his term, and they have these incendiary balloons that they wait for the wind. And I've been there. I've never seen balloon strikes, but I've been on the border on Gaza, and they launch these airstrikes into the Gaza, and immediately it's now called overkill. You know, we launch balloons, you launch airstrikes. And describe Prime Minister Bennett. How would you describe him politically, Father?
Well, I would say politically he's the product of what the general line of negotiation. First of all, I think he's going to be only in midterm, I believe, right? Interim person. Well, I don't think he's going to be for good, right? They're going to form a coalition from this coalition, I believe, and then they will elect a new prime minister for Israel. But I think they're forming good people around them by means of, if our administration is perceiving the problem as to in somehow rebuilding Gaza without, you know, strengthening Hamas, and giving the Arabs and the Palestinians a voice inside Israel, inside the Knesset, inside the constitutional rights inside Israel, basically, and to give an explanation to the conflict away from, you know, violence every time, I think Bennett will be a little bit of their guy. But I don't think he's going to be there for a long time, Peter. Next to him, our administration just assigned a consul general, a U.S. consul general from the State Department for the Palestinians, for the Palestinian territory. He's originally from Lebanon. He's Shia, and he's a U.S. citizen.
He's from Lebanon. I know. Yeah.
It's like the strangest combinations they are doing. I think you're going to describe them in the context of the negotiation with the Persian Empire. That's how I think the best you can describe them. I'm not sure what you think.
He put this coalition together, and for the first time, they needed the Arab Israelis. And the coalition, apparently, from my reading, the Arabs now have a part in this. But it's really interesting going back. Joe Biden is, and the American taxpayers, funding into. I think they indirectly fund Hamas. And if you send that money to rebuild what's happening in Gaza, most people I read who see the world like I do, that you get the money, the money's supposed to go to the families, but the terrorists, it's like life insurance. Right? You fund a group like Hamas, and, you know, with all the problems I have with Donald Trump, those years were pretty quiet between Palestinians and Israelis, were they not?
They were very quiet, and I do believe, people, let's be fair. People accuse that during the time of the 4 years of President Trump, even though there was no violence, there was no war, but the Palestinian people really were suffering some type of famine. I think they were like Lebanon. Yeah. Lebanon today is suffering major famine. And now they're saying, with this administration, the Palestinians found an opportunity to express themselves, and therefore you see what you saw. I think we should always consider, on both sides, usually oppressors are from within. There are oppressors from within the Palestinian, I would say, establishment. You know, some of them call them Hamas, others. I think there is a status quo of oppressive power, which is not the Palestinian government, but it's like an alternative type of force. The same thing is existing in Lebanon. And, you know, many people call it Hezbollah, for instance, mm-hmm. which is pro-Iranian militia group. And they are oppressing the people. But also there are economic sanctions. I think one of the reasons why under the Trump administration we did not hear about those things a lot, there was a huge economic sanctions, and they were working, at least according to what the administration perceived from them to work in. What I think humanitarian-wise, and as a human being and as a religious leader, you can't sanction people by denying them food. You can't sanction them by denying them water,
yeah, makes it worse.
Denying medicine.
It makes it worse.
Yeah. And I think that what we see today, it could be a reaction, Peter, to those economic sanctions, honestly. And we should consider that those factors. But you're right. Now this violence has not existed during the last 4 years. But it doesn't mean that the objectives were right at the time.
But a lot of it is, again, Father Andre Mahan is with us 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. Love the show. He's there. The Biden administration has reconnected with the mullahs. The mullahs have all the sway in the world right now, the Iranians. And the Iranians are now, it used to be the Saudis were the principal backers of PLO and Black September and Al-Fatah and all those organizations. The Saudi Arabians were the Saudi Arabians are so underhanded. But now it's the Iranians because the Saudi Arabians are so afraid of them. So now the Biden administration is making up to the mullahs, and they're giving money to Hamas. And I don't see anything. I mean, if you're a Zionist, this isn't a very good moment. And these guys. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
It may not be a good moment for Zionists, or it is the best moment. You know. Let's look a little bit bigger than Gaza, which is a few square miles, let's say.
It is.
Let's look at the entire Middle East. One, let's look at the entire Bible. Do you see Israel and Iran in a biblical context in somehow? Mm. And I'm not saying biblical context by means of apoc. I know, Peter, you and me don't think that way.
No.
But in history, well, let's go back to history. I think Israel and Iran will rediscover ties while they are in fight. Will discover ties if the purpose of their existence is both a religious purpose. Again, I always say the surprise factor, things are not what they seem to be. Things are not what they seem to be. I think in the religious context, in the subconscious of these two people, there is a huge relationship between Persia and Israel. That's one. Two, I look at them as, you know, a Jewish religion and a Shia sect within Islam, which is a 10% of the Sunnis in the world. Let's say there is 1,750,000,000 Muslims in the world. There's about 10% are Shia. I think there's about 300 million Shia in the world only. That which is considerably is the same number of the population in the United States almost. And these are the minority inside Islam. And all of a sudden, you see Iran being given access from Iran through Iraq, through Syria, through Lebanon, all the way to the borders of Israel with South Lebanon, and now in Gaza, and inside the Palestine itself. Does that ring the bell for something? Or what does it accomplish while everybody is yelling and screaming that, you know, Iran, we're negotiating with Iran, our government, basically, and not we, I'm sorry. Our government here is negotiating with Iran over weapons of mass destruction, nuclear powers. And then you see what's happening between Israel and Iran. And you see they're giving Lebanon to Hezbollah. They're letting Hezbollah and somehow very free in Lebanon, despite the fact that it stands against every democratic principle of our existence. And somehow, the only explanation I would give to this, Peter, is that if you look at the Sunnis, about a billion some people, if you look at the Shia, about 300 million, I wonder if somebody thought, let's divide the Sunni world by bringing a Shia line inside of it and somehow to weaken the Sunnis. Is there a possibility?
Well,
I don't know.
It's, to me, everything that I've read and a little bit of travel, the Sunni-Shia split is as bad as the Church of England and the Catholic Church in Ireland in the 18th century. They're not going to get along.
And very bloody.
They're not going to get along.
Very, very bloody.
Yeah.
Very bloody.
It's not going to happen. And now, you know, put a rise of a religion in Turkey. The Saudi Arabians are not to be trusted. The power's in the hands of the Iranians, you know, because Saddam is gone. We go back to the idiocy of the Bush-Cheney administration. I don't know, Father. I mean, Father Andre Mahan is with us, one of the smartest. He's my friend. He's knows more, forgot more than I'll know. So now, once again, it's going to get down to inside the United States of America, the tide has turned against the Israelis. The popular culture now is anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian. The Palestinians have always been pawns. They've been pawns of the Egyptians. They've been pawns of the Saudi Arabians. They've been pawns of the Soviets. They've been pawns of, you know, whomever wants to use them. Actually, Jordanians at one time pawned them. If I was a Palestinian, what would I do?
I think if you're a Palestinian today, you will seek every diplomatic way to, first of all, ensure your right in your own territory. You try to study the history between 1916 all the way through 1947, and then 1948 through today. And I'm saying 1947 until the British Army left, basically, Palestine and Israel. And then after that, I would say, I would do a self-critique. I would educate myself to see how much money did my government receive and where did it go? Is it true that the billions of dollars, I do believe the Palestinian government receives about a $5 billion per year, you know, including from Israel. What did they do with it? Did they build houses?
No.
Did they build hospitals?
No.
Did they build infrastructure? Did they build better educational establishment? Did they work on better representation? You know, I just watched a movie, which is true. Remember when they kidnapped the planes and they would land them in Beirut? And we would be in Beirut screaming and going, why are the Palestinians bringing these airplanes and killing these people in our country? It's messing up in Lebanon, becoming like very terroristic look. Can you really look at the Palestinian history of revolution and of and somehow resistance without considering how much they went beyond red lights to do terrorist acts? And that's the test of I do believe Naftali Bennett, because you asked me that question, mm-hmm. Peter. Is he gonna fall into this Muslim Arab party inside Israel, despite his nationalist credentials, or despite his first basically responsibility of being an Israeli, of being a prime minister? Does he have a memory seeing those things? I think both of them are going to reflect on these facts. What would stay for a Palestinian? I would say what would stay is to rise a government that is best representative of the will of the people, and to free themselves from terrorism, and to take every opportunity to open up to good Israeli civil society leaders who are willing to live as neighbors together in the same land.
Won't happen. History is this great teacher, and if you don't want to listen to the voice of history, but I always come back to you, Trevor Roper, who said, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, there are places in the world, parts of the world, there is no tomorrow. It is simply yesterday repeating itself. And the causes and the problems were caused, most of the problems were caused by the Europeans. A lot of the problems are religious problems. And I don't see a solution, certainly in my lifetime. And again, to pull back a scab, what Bush and Cheney did. I've just finished this book, Saddam's Tribe, and I recommend it. It's really lengthy. It's about Saddam's family and how horrible they were. They're just horrible people. But Saddam himself, you know, there's no defense of Saddam Hussein. But I wish he was back there right now in power in Baghdad, and a lot of this stuff would not be happening.
Well, I would say, would you live on the inside being killed in silence, or would you live in chaos, yeah, where you are being killed by every external force is coming at you? I wouldn't say, Peter, for some nations there is no tomorrow, there is only yesterday repeated. I would look at it also, which is the same thing I want to say, but in a more hopeful way. There are populations in the world that have been very unfortunate since the beginning. Listen, Peter, let the people reflect on this. How many is the population of people who are trafficked in the world? Billion, I bet you.
Sure.
If you look at the number of people who are being trafficked, whether for labor, whether for, you know, underage trafficking, women trafficking,
sure,
sexual trafficking, children trafficking. Don't kid yourself. This is a nation that is on the run. And for those people, there is no tomorrow.
That's right.
Yesterday repeated.
There is no tomorrow.
Because simply they are unfortunate. And we as governments, we as a people in free lands, have not made considerations yet for them. We need to make considerations for these people so they will see the tomorrow. This is what I keep preaching and evangelizing, including church leaders in the United States. Unfortunately, they do not put on their budget, how can we help Palestinians or Jews or Christians or some unfortunate Muslim people in the world see that there is tomorrow? I always tell you, look at the state of Africa, the situation in the continent of Africa. 750 million people in Africa have no tomorrow.
No.
And all of a sudden, you have this huge movement in the United States, which is obviously coming from, it's born, I do believe, from the pain of the black populations in the West and in the world, the Black Lives Movement. I'm talking simply without looking at this political agenda. I'm simply talking about, as a consequence, where did they spring forth from? From the pain of their own people. But there are 750 million other people inside Africa today, amongst the 1,250 million Africans are suffering from the lack of freedom. No housing, no water, no medicine, no access to food. The same thing, look at the situation in Lebanon. Over 60% of the population is being starved, and we keep knocking at the door of every U.S. administration, telling them, feed the people of God. Knock at the door of the bishops in the U.S. Yeah. Tell them, would you please consider giving us donations to help our people? Or they tell you, sorry, our budget is saturated for this year, or we cannot let you.
What are you doing
of
on?
Of course, there
what,
is no support for these people.
The show on Sunday. What are you doing Sunday morning at 6?
Well, the show on Sunday is going to be giving reports about, you know, Lebanon and about the desperation that is growing among the country's Christians and the 50,000 Iraqi refugees. Where are they today in the world who cannot return, even though Pope Francis went to Iraq and invited everybody to return? Why they have not been able to return? And this is what we'll be talking about.
Can I ask you a question? Francis goes to Iraq. Why didn't he stop in Beirut?
Why he did not stop in Beirut?
Yeah.
We will find out on July 1st why he did not stop.
I know why he did not stop in Beirut. So do you, but you're infinitely more loyal than I will be. Father, I love you.
I love you.
I had lunch with a friend of ours yesterday, and you take care of yourself. Father
Peter,
Andre Mohana. Yes, sir.
Peter, may I please ask you people, please visit missionofhopeandmercy.org and please help us as much as you can. Please.
Thank you, sir. All right. This is this day, 37 years ago, the 18th of June, 1984, talk show host Alan Berg was murdered. On the air that night was the one and only, the Avenger, Kenny Hamblin. He's coming up. Home equity has more than doubled over the past decade. These gains have become more important financial tools for homeowners, mainly because it allows you to access cash and historically low interest rates, making it easier to pay off high interest debt or fund home renovations, whatever you need because it's your dough. Now, this sounds like something you're interested in. It's worth a call to American Financing to learn more. They'll give you a free, no-obligation mortgage review so you can understand your options before moving. I did it. American Financing, please call them today. It's like saving a paycheck every month. There you go, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Whatever you need, they can help. Rates are low. It is absolutely nuts not to do it. Get off the ground. Apply online. AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Again, 303-695-7000.
More than just headlines. This is Peter Boyles, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Fired upon Alan Berg when he was exiting his vehicle in front of his home. 10 or more shell casings, to the best of my ability, or a number that would indicate an automatic weapon was found at the scene. And Alan Berg has, in fact, passed on. He is no longer with us. He'll always be with us, though. I think he's touched each and every one of us. He touched me. And Lee Larson and Jim Hawthorne are on their way into the station now. Jim is program director. Lee Larson is the station manager. And it's a shock. It's
on that night, June the 18th, 1984, on KOA Radio. Did you know that we had that cut?
No. No, I didn't, man.
We're
going to have... I'm going to sound a little strange. I've got a Democrat in my throat. Shit.
I knew you'd say
sorry.
That. This, of course, that night. You would lead with that, wouldn't you? Billy Thorpe, who does unbelievable work, found that. That is you on the air at KOA Radio after 10 o'clock on the 18th of June, 1984, when the word comes down that Alan's life had been taken. This is the one and only, the Avenger, longtime friend, radio legend, Kenny Hamblin. And when we talked, he said, hey, man. So I go like so, dot, 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 dot.
Go ahead. What?
I said, what do you remember of that night? What do you remember yourself of that night?
Well, I remember that we had lunch that day.
Yeah.
And all through that broadcast, I could see him standing in the doorway. You know, it was really a weird night, falling down a hole. But, you know, Pete, it's been 37 years since the night of that murder. You're still carrying it. I'm still carrying it. But, you know, a lot of terrible things have happened in our country since Byrd's murder. I mean, you know, Aryan Nations came down from Coeur d'Alene and murdered a friend. But Jesus, look at where we are today, man. Our country is being ripped apart. You know, we've got that Portland, Oregon. Did you know that their whole...
They quit?
Their whole riot squad quit.
Yeah, man. They quit yesterday, yeah.
Okay, and for the people of Portland, you know, you're living in a third world city now. God, that sounds terrible, I know. You're living in a third world city now, you know. You got what you wanted. You got the Democrats that you put in office, and you've got the police off the street. You've got rape, murder, and anarchy. And those are the things that Byrd was speaking out against 37 years ago. You know, I mean, you talk about being on a slippery slope. We're standing in quicksand today. You know, I refer to the president as Plugs, Joe Plugs Biden. You know what a plug is, Pete?
Hair plugs, yeah.
No, a plug is an old swayback horse.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's what we have. And, you know, in cahoots with the squad, with Pelosi, with Schumer. I mean, Byrd spoke out against those people. About all the craziness, about them destroying the country. He was saying that 37 years ago. CRT, critical race theory. Your grandkid is now being taught that he's not a pile of poop because the leftist socialists have gotten hold. They've gotten their talons into the country. So now white kids are the devil. First they started with the statues. Well, hell, first in our world, they murdered Berg, then they got around to the statues, and now they've got CRT in the schools. I mean, look at what's happening to the country, you know? I mean, I'll tell you what, in 37 years, I've become bitter. I've become bitter. I'm persona non grata in my family. I call them all communists. Okay. I call them all lefty communists. They voted for Plugs. They voted to destroy the country. Old guys like us, we're left mourning the death of the murder, the unfair murder of a friend. You know, Peter, in the streets of New York City, Palestinians chasing and beating Jews. Whoa. What the hell are we looking at? These people came down from Coeur d'Alene and murdered Byrd because he was a Jew. And we thought we were making progress in this country. Now you got Palestinians running through the Big Apple, man, flying their flag and assaulting people.
Kenny's
What's
here.
Gonna happen?
Yeah. I was going to say, the Avengers here, Kenny Hamlin. Billy found that cut. Great work by Billy that night. 37 years. I mean, I'm... This new film is coming out, and my favorite science fiction book is Dune. And I was thinking about this 2 days ago when the guild has the ability to fold space and folding time. And I think, you know, when we do this, try and do this every year and speak about his life and what it meant. And it's like it folded time. I mean, it was me and you when we were young guys, and you hear yourself talking about Jim Hawthorne, who's now gone, and Lee Larson, who always will be the man, and all those different guys, and everything that happened. And you were on, what were you doing? You were doing 8 to midnight then? Is that that the shift that you had?
8 to midnight, and I think I carried over till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, you stayed on. And it's a moment. Lee and I have talked. Kenny's here. Kenny Hamlin's here. Lee and I talked that talk radio, and I believe this now too, talk radio is in epochs, it's in seasons. And Denver, it was before and after Berg. Before Berg, it was one thing. After Berg, it was another. Then it becomes before Rush and after Rush. You yourself were the guy. People don't, they may not know this. And yesterday, Billy, we have a new intern kid. He's a board op, young kid. He's 19 years old. And we were lining up on the show for tomorrow, and we were talking about you. And Billy starts to tell Hamlin stories about you as the Avenger. How many buses went up there? They were counting buses yesterday in a conversation. How many buses did you lead up to Fort Collins?
Oh, I don't know. Jeezy, I think it was, I can't even remember anymore.
Fair enough.
It was several. It was several.
And you went
and the bikes and the bikers and the people on the overpass. I mean, and it was, you know, do you remember Talk America?
Oh, sure.
Talk America was the left wing.
It blew up. It blew up.
To try and to combat my voice, Alan's voice, your voice, so-called conservative radio. We didn't know we were doing conservative radio. We were just talking about the crap on the street. We were talking about the crap in City Hall, you know. And they launched Talk America to try and beat on. This is long before, I can't even say.
They tried Air America too. They tried Talk America.
Yeah,
they tried Air America.
Yeah.
Before MSNBC, so, before the rest of it. Yeah.
But Pete, they succeeded because they got into cahoots with the mainstream media and the masters of the universe. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, my voice is on social media is reduced to practically 0.0. Okay? I mean, the things I'm upset about, I'm enraged about, and I'm not Jewish. I don't have any Jewish relatives. I think I have 6 Jewish friends, maybe 7, I don't know. But there's not a story short of, they tie in the Wuhan Red Death Virus to people being stressed out after being confined in New York, and so the anarchy and bumping is occurring. No, man, that's down and out raw anti-Semitism. The Palestinians, man, you know, they're saying straight up, Ilhan Omar, they're saying straight up, resistance is futile, you know? And we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs. I'm telling you, if we don't send a thunderous message in 22, it's done because the kids are gone. They took the kids K through 12 and in the universities. And again, it was Bird speaking out against that crap. It was, you know, it didn't seem right. It didn't seem right. It didn't seem normal. We were like a dog ear scenting. Man, there's something on the wind and it doesn't smell good. Now, 37 years later, hey, you couldn't even say that hydrochloroquine was effective against COVID-19. Zap, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you were gone. I don't care if you were a world-renowned heart surgeon or whomever speaking out against this, you know? Zuckerberg, man. You look at that kid? Yeah, I guess I'm crazy, Pete.
Hang on. Let me do this. I got a turn coming. Kenny's with us. I want to come back. And when you came on the job and how much that influenced you, because you were one of those guys that Kenny was a photographer. And how you broke into the business, we're talking about guys that came in and sat down. And what influences he had. And hang on a second. Kenny Hamlin's with us, 710 KNUS. Warm weather has arrived, and you're looking to expand your outdoor living spaces. Urban Lights, the place to go for all your lighting and ceiling fan needs. Urban Lights, so I got that overhead fan, and it's like the coolest thing in the world. Urban Lights has the latest LED lighting, light up all around your home, inside and out, displays hundreds of smart Wi-Fi ceiling fans that you control with your phone, great selections of any room in your home. I'll tell you, the ceiling fans are the true thing. So 20,000-square-foot showroom, hundreds of light fixtures and ceiling fans, not to mention an amazing selection of outdoor. Outdoor, they call it landscape lighting. Drop in their showroom today and schedule a free design appointment. You can do that first or just show up. Virtual appointment so you can get help from the comfort of your own home. Get 40% off all lighting, selected fans, home decor every weekend. So it begins, of course, Saturday, Sunday. If you can't take it home that day for Father's Day, you know, take the old man down there, some stuff that he wants for because he's the gardener. Pick up some curbside or have it delivered. 7 days a week, find them south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi, UrbanLightsDenver.com, 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 south of I-25 between Florida and Mississippi. Tell them I sent you another 10% off the already low prices.
Hugh Hewitt, Charlie Kirk, and Dennis Prager, coming up after Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
It's a Friday morning, everyone, the 18th of June, 2021. On the 18th of June in 1984, the city lost the dominant talk show host, but it's much more than that, gunned down in front of his home in his driveway on Adams Street. And our guest on hold, Kenny Hamblin, went on that night, if you would, Billy.
I want to tell you about the limited time we spent together. I said we had some cat fights, and we did. Damn it, we used to go round and round about Berg cigarette smoking. And I used to work the midnight to 5 in the morning shift, and twice a week, he'd start damn trash fires. And I fought with Berg because I could not believe that someone, an adult, could be as legitimately inept
as that night, Friday, the 18th, coming back. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember, Pete, you remember those flights.
Oh.
You and Andrew, everybody would get up and walk out of the staff meeting.
I was in a meeting with Brian Taylor yesterday, and Susu's coming up, and these fights would break out, and Hawthorne, God love him, you know, he couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag with his hands on fire, and he would just, you guys would scare him, and we would be in the KOA boardroom, true story, and you and Berg would get into it, and I'd give Susu the elbow, and I said, come on, let's go get a beer. It was like, yeah.
You know, Peter, we loved him, but he was a bit of a bully, okay? And all I was trying to do, you know, I'd call Berg aside long before those meetings and say, hey, man, give me a break here, you know. Let me tell you something, hot shot. That's what he used to call me. And, I mean, it was just no talking to him, so I thought I'd bring it up in the meetings. Before we go any further, I was listening to the news. I see that Mark and Marcia Mikowski in St. Louis, they took a plea that shot the hell out of their Second Amendment rights. You realize... Running through Portland and everywhere else, these people, the Antifa people and the Black Lives people, they were flashing and waving guns all over the place. Mikowski stood his ground on his property, and what kind of a deal was that, man?
They forfeited their guns.
Yeah, because they told them straight up, "We'll bleed you white. We'll." You know, you're fighting the city of St. Louis. You're fighting the Soros DA, okay? And, I mean, again, you know, we look at what the world was 37 years ago. This effluvium came down out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and killed a hell of a radio man, a personal friend, a good American. And by their standards, a dirty Jew.
Yeah. Well,
and you know, go ahead. Who was the woman that came on and started speaking highly of those the guys that went down to Canyon City? There was a female talk show host.
Well, yes, there was. No, I'm not going to do it on here. I'm not going to name her. But you're right, and I remember it. And
Jesus.
She put David Lane on the air, And
Yeah.
I remember you and I remember.
You know what that was? She wasn't hateful. She was cheap.
She had no idea what she was doing. And
no, but all she wanted to do was grab ratings. She would do anything to grab ratings.
I remember that night. Actually, I'll tell you where David Lane was. He was in county jail. He wasn't in Canyon. He never went to Canyon. He was in he was in Denver County.
Yeah.
And I remember that. There's so many things for me that remain somewhat foggy, but I remember them, and especially with clarity. And when I listen to you speak, and I remember that. And
where were you when you got the word?
Barry Fay called me at home.
What time? That's like
There's a time of death for him that's believed somewhere between 9:30 and perhaps closer to 9:45 tonight. And Alan,
I got the word at ten.
Ten fifteen. He pulls into the condo on Adams, and that's east of downtown. He parks his Volkswagen, and he's in the driveway. And he gets out. He's got a paper bag with dog food, and boom, and they light him up
with a Mac 10.
There was an argument between Bruce Pearson. Kevin's coming up to talk about it, about who gets to pull the trigger, and I'm in throes of my addictions. And my phone rings, and it's, I don't know, in the 10 o'clock news. And it's Faye, wake up, sit up, turn on Channel 4. And here's the showstopper. The young cop in the driveway that night is Mark Crowley, who goes on to become the chief of staff of our radio station.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it was Barry. And then I got a knock on my door, and it was Channel 9. It was Paula Woodward. They brought a team to my house, and I turned you on. And, you know, it's really interesting as we come up on time. I remember hearing you cry on the air that night. And I'm spinning like a top. I have no idea what to do. And
it's funny you should use the term spinning like a top, because I was spinning like a top down a black hole, literally. People talk about that experience, man.
It
was just like the Twilight Zone.
There's a lot of things that people say about certain things that you'll do, body functions, and you think that, yes, it happens. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But, and I remember, it's such a fog. And, you know, as you probably know, they're talking about a film now, and the guys are going to come on the show this morning. But,
Are these the same guys?
Yeah, they're good guys. They're out of L.A.
Yeah, they're
good guys. They know.
How's that project going? Are they making headway, raising money?
Best of my knowledge, yes. And I've talked to them a number of times. And Kevin and I met them for dinner because Kevin's book. And we will see what we see. Take a final comment. What was that about at the time? And I remember the aftermath of that and the trials and everything that happened next. You're a good man, Kenny. You're a good man.
It tore us all apart. It just we were on the 13th floor up there. The building went 360 degrees. Oh. And if anybody was standing looking out the window with their arms folded, we knew not to approach them.
You bet.
Because they were crying.
Yep, it was a time.
Yeah.
I love you.
All right, brother.
Thank you, man. Kenny Hamblin. On the other side, the one and only Kevin Flynn, who did the book, Mark Crowley, Susan Ryman, who I adore, the guys from the ADF on Jack Phillips, and then these filmmakers marking this day on the June 18th, 84. And it changes everything. And nothing, as Lee Larson said, is before Alan and after Alan. 710 KNUS.